Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. The Reverend Doug Gribenaw is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
I appear to have prepped a sermon on a different text. And so if you'll pardon me, I will read that text from Acts chapter 2, using God's gift of technology. A reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also dwelt well in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This selection from Peter's speaking comes after the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost. That the men present there, upon whom the tongues of fire had lit, were speaking in tongues that they did not know, languages of this world, the native tongues of those men present to hear the revelation of God. And yet the mockers mocked, hearing language and words that they could understand, and they turned their eyes away and said, "These fools be drunk." Filled with new wine is the more polite way of saying that. Every time sinful man is encountered with something he doesn't like, he reverts back to being about 2 feet tall, a toddler, a preek, a strong-willed child. And you know, I have one of those. I love him dearly. But good golly, this, when it comes in the fall, because I grow my beard, it gets grayer and grayer every year. And sometimes I have to laugh. I imagine, honestly, that our Father in heaven does the same with us. Because we are toddlers. "Hey, look, Leo, it's sunny outside." "No, it's not." "You like eggs?" "No, I don't." Would you like a chocolate? No, I mean, yes. Thank you. Paraphrasing Star Wars, I like to say, the old Adam is strong with this one. Fact is, the old Adam is still strong in all of us. It is a battle that we continue to fight day in and day out. Which is why every day we return to our baptism, drowning that old Adam that the new man may rise and live before the Lord each day. The old Adam is a wily one, and perhaps we hide it better than the toddlers do. But we bear that same rebellion, that same self-justification. We carry in us, this side of glory, that same death, original sin, and every sin that we commit stemming forth from that deep corruption. Indeed, our capacity for willful self-deception is astounding. God made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them in 6 days. No, it took billions and billions of years. Male and female, God created them. No, gender is a construct. God formed your inward parts. God knitted you together in your mother's womb. No, it is a clump of cells. My body, my choice. We reject objective truth and reality. We see these things in the world and we turn a blind eye to them. The capacity for us to deny the truth is amazing. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. There is but one remedy for such self-deception. Confession. Simply to say what is true, to admit there is a truth, a real, objective, factual truth that exists outside of my perception, outside my self-deception. For the old Adam speaks with the tongue of the devil, the father of lies, the murderer from the very beginning, the one who does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. But the new man is not like the old. His tongue is loosed by the gospel. His person enlivened by the Holy Spirit. That his words are true. That he speaks what God has spoken first to him. I am saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. In his death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins, apart from the works of the law, apart from anything that I may contribute or do. This Jesus, in him I am redeemed. God's own child. And that's the point of Pentecost. That God speaks clearly. Not to say that God has ever spoken unclearly, by no means, but rather because of our capacity for self-deception, our capacity to willfully ignore the truth that we see, that we hear, God has to speak over and over and over again. It is his love for you, for his whole creation, that drives him to speak in many and various ways. And to speak in these last days by his Son, this Jesus. This Jesus, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs. And by faith, we are able to grasp that which we cannot comprehend. which our old Adam refuses to see. The self-deception of the mockers, who heard the word of God from the apostles as the Holy Spirit gave them to speak in languages they did not know, mother tongues of those present there. These mockers said the apostles were drunk when all the evidence pointed to the contrary. And it led Peter to speak as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance. If it is such a challenge for us to accept the truth that is bare before our eyes, to comprehend not only the words that God is speaking, how much harder is it for us to comprehend what those words are saying? That we are forgiven not by anything that we do. Indeed, there is nothing that we can do to contribute to our salvation. For we cannot, by our own reason or strength or anything in this world, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him. It is the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, who calls us by this gospel, by this speaking, this clear speaking, that we may behold the wondrous exchange that God has wrought forth in Jesus Christ. This man attested by mighty works and wonders and signs, the greatest of which is his death and resurrection on the cross. It is of this that King David prophesied, as St. Peter made clear, "For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let their Holy One see corruption." Peter said, "Being therefore a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." We all speak the truth. And the truth is more marvelous than we can imagine. Shameful, disgraceful death by crucifixion is now the height of God's glory. Condemnation that was poured out, the wrath of God on His own Son, is now for us forgiveness. Death on the cross, death in the grave, is now the gateway to life everlasting. Let all the world know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. There's no getting around that truth. It is our sins, my sin, that put to death the Lord of life, taking them on Himself to lay them at rest in His grave, to suffer every lie, every rebellion, every self-deception, and then to speak truth, for He is truth, and show forth that you are loved. You are loved by God more than anything else He has ever made. And God, being the Father, gets to do that. You are my favorite. And He can say it to each and every one of you and mean it. The truth that you are loved by God and forgiven for the sake of His Son, Jesus. So repent. Confess. Our whole lives are to be lived in repentance. As God speaks over and over and over again, speaking first at that font where you were baptized and speaking to you each and every day in His Word, in the proclamation of His shepherds, in the sacrament of His altar, You are forgiven. That you are His dear child. With you, He is well pleased. And thanks be to God for speaking so clearly. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.